we're glad to be sharing the ministry of Redemption Church with you. Now join us as we receive the Word of God.
Hello, Redemption Church. Happy Palm Sunday. Give somebody a high five. That's what the Palm Sunday's about. It's about the high five. No, that's not what it's about. That's not what... They cried out to the Lord. They said, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Somebody shout, Hosanna.
Hosanna.
Hosanna, Lord. We're so thankful that you came. Greetings to everyone that is here in the room and everybody that's tuning in online. All right. Thank you so much for checking us out. Hello, Facebook Live. Let us know that you're here by leaving a comment or a like or any of those things. Share it. We love it. YouTubers, podcasters, we love you too. Don't think that we've stopped loving you. We love you just as much as we ever have. All right. We love you and we're happy to share the gospel with you. We are in the fourth week of our sermon series entitled Jesus Loves Meme. Jesus Loves Meme. I don't know about you, but for the past few weeks, I've loved telling my preacher friends, they ask, wait, what sermon series are you preaching? And I tell them, Jesus Loves Meme. And they're just like, I just can't talk to you anymore. That's pretty much the reaction we've had. But I've really enjoyed this series so far. Have you enjoyed it? The Lord has really met with us during this series. I love it. A meme is an idea that is shareable. It usually utilizes a picture and text. We've talked about the memes like Seems Legit, Also Me Meme, and last week we talked about Yo Dog, the Yo Dog meme. Today, I think Jesus might share this meme on all our social media feeds. I mean, everybody. I think he would post this meme a lot, quite a bit. In fact, I think he would go to every church's official Facebook page. He'd post this meme daily. He would go to the pastor's Twitter or Friendster account, or no one knows, that went away a long time ago. He would go to wherever your pastor is online, he would share this meme. Everybody in this house, he would tag you in today's meme. I know he would. Here is the meme, why you know. Everyone say, why you know. Look at somebody else, say, why you know? The text, why you know, is suggestively shortened form of why don't you or why can't you? And you say this quite a bit, right? Why can't you use your turn signal? You say this on 75 daily. It's implied that you are capable of doing this. So why don't you do this? There's a very strange face on this meme. How would you describe this face? A little ugly, maybe? Would it be okay if we said it was ugly? Would it be all right if we said it was a bothered face? Those are the two terms that come to my mind, all right? The face comes from somewhere else, actually, just studying the Word of God and memes this week. I found out that this face comes from somewhere else. It's copied and edited into the artwork. The face has its origin in manga. We're studying all kinds of culture today. We're just cross-cultural here. What is manga? Manga is Japanese comic books and graphic novels, all right? And so this why you know meme took the face from a panel of a manga and copied it into this artwork, and the rest was history. This meme was gifted to us by the internet in the year 2002. This meme is older than some of the children in this room right now. Here are some examples of the why you know meme. I text you, why you know text back. Have you ever texted somebody and they didn't text you back? See, the why you know meme is what you should have sent them. Onions, why you make eyes water. Orange juice, you've all asked this. Why you know tastes good after I brush teeth. Fishy, why you know wake up. That's a little, hits too close to home for some of us. It's sad. Fishy died. Girls who dye their hair, why you know do your eyebrows. I've wondered that for a long time. No offense, ladies, but blonde hair, black eyebrows, it happens. It happens. Now, this is a fairly well-known meme. All right. Some of y'all just don't know. This is a real issue in today's society, the hair dyeing. All right. This is a fairly well-known meme. It's even been commercialized. Why You Know Use HipChat was an advertising slogan for a messaging app. I don't even know if HipChat is still around, but they were one of the first people to ever try to use a meme to advertise. So I thought I would use some Why You Know memes for us church folk. Are you ready? This may or may not be terrible. Church people, Why You Know show up on time. Oh, just bear with me, okay? Here, this one's for me. Preacher, Why You Know preach shorter, okay? Jesus is knocking at your door. Why You Know answer. Worship team, Why You Know play Stairway to Heaven. Televangelist who is always asking for money. Why You Know sell your Rolex. Jesus, Why You Know come quickly. I don't know about you, but I've been wanting Jesus to come quickly, at least before tax season. And I'm like, Why You Know come quickly, Lord Jesus. Why You Know, do you get the idea of this simple meme, right? You're capable of doing this, so why don't you do this? It would be good if you did this, so why don't you do this? It would actually be helpful if you did this, so why can't you do this? I think that if Jesus had an official social media account, he might share this meme. And I think he could tag each of us in that post. Here's some ideas that he might post for us. Why You Know love. Why You Know love. I know that there have been times in my life where Jesus would have tagged me in this meme. As followers of Christ, we are commanded to love. Can I get an amen on that truth? That is truth, right? This is not optional. John 13:34, a new command, Jesus says, I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. Love is not something that Jesus suggests. You know, it would be good if you could just love people. That's not what he just said. Love is something that Jesus commands. Mark 12:31, it says this, love your neighbor as yourself. Love your neighbor as yourself. Luke 6:27, I say, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. So John 13 says, love one another. Say one another. Mark 12 says, love your neighbor. Say neighbor. Luke 6 says, love your enemies. Say enemies. So Redemption Church, is there anyone you shouldn't love? Is there anyone? We should love everyone. We're called to love. We're commanded to love one another, your neighbor, even your enemy. We are called to love. So Why You Know love? And let me ask this. What is our standard of love? Is it, well, I didn't kill them? Is it, well, I didn't steal from them? Is it, well, I didn't curse at them? We have all these funky standards of what it means to love. So you're commanded to love, and you're like, well, you know, I didn't hurt them. You know, I didn't kill them. I didn't steal from them. I didn't curse from them. Is that our standard? I would say that's a very low standard of love. Could it be that you have a standard of love today that is low? Is that possible? We are to love by the standard of who? Love by the standard of Jesus. Is that standard low or is it high? Let's be honest. Is that standard higher than our own standard? Yes. Is he calling us to a higher standard of love? Absolutely. So he would tell us all Why You Know love. Why don't you love like I love? As I have loved you, so you must love one another, Jesus said. We are to love one another in the same way that Jesus Christ loved us. And that is no small thing. He died for us while we were yet sinners, while we were yet his enemies. That's what love is. That's what he's done for us. We've got to have a higher standard of love. We need to love with the highest standard, and the highest standard is Jesus. You see, that's why you need Jesus in your life, because you cannot possibly do this without Jesus. You've got to have Jesus in your heart. You need the love of God being shed abroad in your heart by the Holy Spirit. You cannot do this by yourself. You cannot think yourself into loving people at the level of Jesus. You have actually got to have God's love working in you. You're capable of love. It would be helpful if you would love like this. You should love like this. It would be good if you love like this. So why you know love? Somebody say it. Why you know love? How about this one? Why you know forgive? Why you know forgive? Is forgiveness an important part of the Christian experience? Yeah. Has anyone ever needed forgiveness?
Yeah.
We all need forgiveness. Where would we be without God's forgiveness? Are you thankful for God's forgiveness? Both hands in the air. If you're thankful for God's forgiveness, podcasters, Facebook, are you thankful for God's forgiveness? But are we to do more than just receive forgiveness? We are to also give forgiveness. We are not to just receive forgiveness, but we are to extend that forgiveness to others. Colossians 3:13 says this, "Bear with each other and forgive one another. If any of you has a grievance against someone, forgive as the Lord forgave you." There's that high standard again. There's this high standard in the Word of God. Not only you're supposed to forgive, you are to forgive as the Lord forgave you. Does the Lord forgive you freely? Yes. So then you should forgive freely. Does the Lord forgive you immediately? Oh, this one hurts to say. Yes, so you should forgive immediately. I know that one stings. I know that one stings. But you know, it's been too, I mean, it just happened. You don't understand. No, if you're supposed to forgive as the Lord forgives, He forgives you freely and He forgives you immediately. Moving on. Does the Lord keep reminding you of the wrongs after you are forgiven? No. So you shouldn't do that either. You should love, you should forgive freely, immediately, and you should not keep that record of wrong. That's how you love. That's how you forgive as the Lord forgives. A person who won't forgive is an ugly sight. Would you agree? Oh my goodness, I've seen some Christians that wouldn't forgive. And it's an ugly sight. And guess what? It ends up infecting every part of their life. Infecting parts of their life. Unforgiveness is one of the few things that can actually cut you off from God's forgiveness. You want to be cut off from God's forgiveness? No. Well, unforgiveness is one of the things that can cut you off from God's forgiveness. Now, we all just talked about how we need God's forgiveness, how we want that free forgiveness. We want that immediate forgiveness. We want that forgiveness that doesn't keep a record of wrong against us. Well, Matthew 6:14, check this out. "For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But," verse 15, "if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive you your sins." That's a scripture you should pay attention to. Do you agree? This is not one to gloss over. No, Jesus said this, and He meant it. If you will withhold forgiveness from your brother, from your sister, if you will not forgive their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Gotta ask you, why you know forgive? Why you know it's good for you to forgive. It's good for you to forgive. Do you understand? It's not just about setting the other person free. Forgiveness sets everyone free. It doesn't just set the person who did wrong free. It sets you free as well. It puts you in unity with what God wants to do. It opens up God's grace to you. It opens up God's mercy to you. He will rain down that mercy and grace on you just because you have learned to forgive. So why you know forgive? Why in the world would you do that? You're capable of forgiveness. It would be good if you would forgive. And it would be helpful if you forgave. So why you know forgive? Look at somebody and say, why you know forgive? Forgiveness is beautiful. Oh, yes, it is. One of the best ways to represent our God in this world, to the world, is through forgiveness. One of the best ways. You're capable of forgiveness. So why, you know, forgive. Moving on, how about this one? Why, you know, pray. Why, you know, pray. Would Jesus share this one? Oh, yeah, he would. Jesus went to the temple. Know this story before I get there? He goes to the temple with a whip. And he goes to some tables and he flips those tables to the ground. He turns those tables upside down on the ground, right? You know this story. It must have been a shocking scene. Everybody paints these beautiful pictures of Jesus holding the children. There's actually some pictures. Somebody on the internet has taken those, edited them, and he's holding a velociraptor. Somewhere in my heart, I think that's really funny, but it is not biblical. It's not biblical. I'm just clearing that up. But we've always got these beautiful pictures of Jesus holding children, Jesus walking the streets, Jesus with a kind look on his face, a resurrected Jesus embracing people. We get these pictures. We don't have many people painting pictures of him in the temple that day, because that is a shocking picture of Jesus. Whip in hand, causing some damage, y'all. Stay out of Jesus's way in that temple, because you were about to get it. He was flipping those tables over. Why did Jesus do this? Do you know why? Matthew 21 and 13. Jesus tells us, he says, "My house will be called a house of prayer." Everyone say it. A house of prayer. Jesus' house will be called a house of prayer. But you are making it a den of robbers. The house was meant to be a house of prayer, but the temple workers were turning it into something else. You want to have Jesus pick up a whip and turn over tables, go into the house of God and start making it something that it wasn't meant to be. You will bring judgment on you very, very quickly. Do we understand how important that is, Redemption Church? Do we really think that Jesus wouldn't flip over tables in most of our churches today? If Jesus walked into some churches, maybe he wouldn't just come in, you know, just going, "Oh, where are all the children?" He might be flipping some tables. What if he did that? Everyone would be shocked, but we shouldn't be shocked. The story's right here in the Bible. This is supposed to be a house of prayer, but we may be turning it into something else. I don't know what it is about churches today, but if you call a special prayer service, nobody shows up. Nobody shows up. Show me the church where that happens, where they show up in just droves. Oh my goodness, I cannot miss. Show up, have some big singing group come in, pack out the place, you can sell tickets. Yeah. Have a worship night. People are crazy about worship nights. Oh man, am I crazy about worship nights? Absolutely, I love them. We have our own worship night. We love it, we love it, we love it. Man, have a special preacher come in. Oh my goodness, you could pack out the house right now. Have the right name in and advertise. Whoa, you would have this place just filled with people. They want to hear that big name preacher. Call a time of prayer for Christians to talk to God and they don't show up. What is that about? Why aren't we praying? Why have we turned the church house into something other than the house of prayer? Would Jesus feel good about that? Or would he post this on our Facebook wall? Would he share this with us and say, "Hey, why you know prayer? You know me," Jesus might say. I know you, but why don't we ever talk? Why don't we have a relationship? Why do you get to the end of the day and realize you haven't talked to me all day long? That's what we do. That's what we do. Philippians 4, verse 6. "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." In what situation should we pray? In every situation. Should we pray for our enemies? Yeah, absolutely. The Bible tells us. Should we pray about illness? Absolutely. Should we pray about the future? Absolutely. Should we pray about personal problems? Absolutely. Should we pray about world problems? Absolutely. We should pray in every situation. It drives me crazy to see people full of anxiousness. And they look at you with the nastiest look when you say, "Have you prayed about it?" I don't know who they think they're talking to, but no, prayer is a real answer. Prayer is a real source of power. Prayer is not a suggestion. It is something you're supposed to do. Let go of your anxiousness. Get a hold of prayer. Let go of your depression. Get a hold of prayer. Turn away from the enemy. Get a hold of prayer. Talk to God while you know pray. There's so many promises about prayer. We don't have time to go through them, but the promises of God through prayer are immense and they're powerful. You know, the number one request we have from our missionaries is not money. It's prayer. They say, "Could you have your folks pray? We're going through this. Can you tell your church to pray? Will you pray for us? We're going through this. I'm worried. We've been sick. We're trying to build this. We don't know where the money is. Can you pray? Can you pray? Can you pray?" Every missionary we have, every correspondence we have is, "Can we pray? Can we pray?" Well, that's the question. Can we? Can we? Can we pray? Why, you know, pray. It would be good if you pray. You're capable of praying. It would be helpful if you prayed. Children of God, will you pray? Will you pray? Anybody, is this a house of prayer today? Or is it a house of sermons? Is it a house of songs? Is it a house of offerings? Is it a house of Sunday school? Or is it a house of prayer? You got to make it a house of prayer. You got to make it a house of prayer. Make it a house of prayer. One of the most disturbing things to me, a 1901 prophecy from around the time of Azusa Street Revival. If you don't know about Azusa Street Revival, you're missing out. Check it out. But there was a prophecy in one of those meetings that came out that said, there is coming a day when people will worship a God they no longer pray to. And they sat around going, "Is that true? How could that possibly be true? How could people worship a God that they no longer pray to?" They would actually sing about a God, but not talk to that God. Let me tell you, that prophecy was right on the money, and I don't know, we're in it. We're in it for the last few decades. We got generations of kids that know the latest worship song, but they don't know how to talk to God. Oh my goodness, it's happening. It's terrible. My goodness, we need to talk to God. Am I downing praise and worship? Absolutely not. But nothing is a substitution for having a relationship with God. Don't you understand that the praise ought to come out? It ought to flow out of a place of relationship with Him. Don't you understand? Preacher, 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 you are studying your sermon, but are you talking to God? Because that sermon is supposed to be flowing out of a place of relationship. We can fake all day the sermon. We can fake all day the worship song. We can fake all day church, but you cannot fake a one-on-one encounter relationship with Jesus Christ. You can't fake it. You can't fake it. You can't fake that. Can't be faked. I want to tell you, I've put it in my heart to every day. The first person I talk to every day is Jesus Christ. The first person I want to talk to every day is Jesus Christ. I wake up in the morning, I say, "Jesus, I love you. I thank you for this day." And I just start getting in an attitude of prayer. I might, you know, I'm brushing my teeth. I'm brushing my teeth, but I'm talking to the Lord. I go out there, I'm making sandwiches for the boys, but I am praying. I want to talk to Him. I want to have that relationship with Him. Why can't we do that? Why don't we do that? I cannot stand the feeling of getting to the end of the day and you realize you've given nothing in the day to Jesus Christ. That is a lousy feeling. You ought to feel lousy whenever that happens. Your favorite Bible stories are often the catalyst of that story is someone talked to God. Often, man, you want that kind of power in your life? Why, you know, pray. There are mountains that need to be moved. But Jesus told you that if you will speak to the mountain, it'll be moved. So why, you know, pray? Our world, our country, our city is in trouble. Say amen if it's true. I'm not making this up. Come on, can I get a little more support? Our world, our country, and our city is in trouble. Come on. Amen. Y'all say amen. Y'all better believe that. Y'all don't believe that. Well, let's just sit down and talk about it. Y'all don't want to do that. It's bad, y'all. If that is true, guess what? God told us that if we will humble ourselves and pray and seek His face, that He will hear from heaven and He will heal our land. Why, you know, pray. We are supposed to have a relationship with God, but we don't talk to Him on a daily basis. We are going spiritually hungry because we are not asking Him in prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Why, you know, pray. Prayer is something that you're capable of. Prayer is something it would be really good if you did. Prayer, it would be really helpful to you and to everyone around you if you would pray. So why, you know, pray. Look at somebody and say, why, you know, pray. Look at them in the eyes. Tell them, go ahead, do it. Why, you know, pray. Why, you know, pray. Why, you know, pray. Why, you know, pray. My goodness, do you really think you're praying enough? Do you really think you're going where you should go in prayer? I could talk about spiritual prayer. I could talk about the Spirit giving utterance in your life, the gift of the Spirit doing powerful things, standing in the gap and interceding for other people. We could even go with that, but now there's no need to go there if we aren't just saying, God, here I am today. I want to talk to you. My goodness, you'll never go into the deep if you aren't even in the shallow. Get in the water. Next. Why, you know, willing. Look at somebody and say, why, you know, willing. Don't you know that God wants to do more in our lives? He wants to, but we aren't willing. Matthew 23, 37, Jesus says, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, you who kill the prophets and stone those sent to you, how often I have longed to gather your children together as a hen gathers her chicks under her wings, but you were not willing. Everyone said willing. How often does God long to protect us? Long to provide for us, defend us, guide us, comfort us, feed us, clothe us, bless us, embrace us, on and on and on. He desires to do these things. How long have I longed? How long have I longed? How often have I longed to gather, to bless all these things? What stops Him? Is He not able to do those things? No. The problem is we are not willing. Your favorite Bible stories contain figures who were willing to let God use them. Every one of them. Every one of your favorite Bible stories. God wants you to be the central figure in the story right now. In His story right now, He wants you to be that central figure. He wants you to be the David in this story. He wants you to be the Peter or John in His story. He wants you to be Elijah or Samuel in this story. Are you willing? Are you willing? Why, you know, willing. We often compartmentalize our life. Let's get to why we're not willing. We often compartmentalize our life. You know what that means, right? We've got this part of our life, and it belongs in this quadrant. We got this part of our life, and, you know, we've got different areas of our life. We got independent George, and we got relationship George. And if you put those together, relationship George will kill independent George. Seinfeld. All right. But we've got these areas of our life. We keep them apart from each other. We got our world over here, and then we've got the area we give to Jesus. And we got to keep Him out of those areas, because if He gets in those areas, He'll transform those areas. He'll mess those areas up. I mean, we got those things just the way we want them. And He's going to go in there. He's going to mess them all up. He's going to do all kinds of things to them, right? We have areas of our life that we are willing for God, but they're walled off, and they're not allowed to be the fullness of our life. For example, right now, you're sitting in a church service. Our online viewers, you're watching and listening to the sermon right now. In this moment, you have carved out some time for God, some time to give to God, and you're somewhat willing for Him to speak to you during this time. That's why you're watching this. I'm so glad you are. Right now, you've got this little compartment of time. You're willing. But do you have the same willingness when we dismiss this sermon? When we are done with today and you're driving home to your house, do you have that same willingness? Or was it compartmentalized for a few hours on a Sunday? Will the same willingness be present when you're at work? When you're at school tomorrow? When you are at home, will the same willingness be present with you? Or have you compartmentalized it? Does your willingness depend on your surrounding? Is your willingness compartmentalized? One of the scariest moments in my life, I was with my youth group at the mall, and my friends from school were at the mall. You know the crazy scene in Miss Doubtfire? In the restaurant where he's like the dad, no, he's Mrs. Doubtfire, like he's the dad, he's Miss Doubtfire, he's the dad. And he's so stupid. I lived that. I lived that at the mall. I was trying to do that. I was like, over with my friends, like, golly gee, God's good. And it was over with the friends, like, yeah, negative stuff, totally dumb stuff. And I'm like going back and forth, like throwing a paw in my face and saying, hello. I was like, that was me. I was doing that right there. Stupid. What was I doing? Compartmentalized. Scariest thought in the world was, oh my goodness, what if my friends met my youth group? What if that it was interspersed? Then it would like, the whole world would blow up right there. This perfectly crafted environment that I had built where God's compartmentalized here and my life over here where I'm trying to be cool, you can laugh, where I can try to be cool, where I try to impress my friends. Hey guys, I had a dirty joke, I know one. Why'd the horse fall in the mud? All right. It's not a dirty joke. But that was my biggest fear during that time. I was not willing. Why wasn't I willing? Is Jesus not worthy of all my life? Is he only worthy of a few hours a week? Is he worthy of my every moment, actually? Yeah. Is he worthy of all that's within me? Bless his holy name. Is he worthy of that? Does your willingness depend on your surrounding? You're capable of more willingness. It would be so helpful to the kingdom of God if you're more willing. And it would be a great thing. It would be such a good thing. So why you know willing? Now I'm going to try my best to bring this to a close today. We'll be coming to talk to God in a few moments. I hope you're willing to come. I hope that you're willing to surrender every area of your life to Him. The subject of why you know is pretty endless, right? I could preach on and on. It could be its own sermon series, but I love you too much to do that to you. There are so many things we ought to be doing for the Lord. If we wrote down all the things that we ought to be doing for the Lord, it's endless. Yet I have one final point I want to share with you today. In ninth grade, I started a new school. And it was awkward. If ninth grade wasn't awkward enough, if I wasn't awkward enough, put me in a new environment. And it was totes awkward. Everyone seemed to know everyone else, and I knew no one. And believe me, and believe it or not, kids, I didn't quite fit in. I know that might be hard for you to imagine, but no, I totally felt stupid. I remember going to my first period class, and it was terrible. It was awful. It was biology. I was scared to death. I was ready to tell my parents that this was not going to work. But then I went to my second period class and I met this guy. His name is Brad. Everyone say hi, Brad. Do you have his picture? There's Brad. It was the best picture I could find of Brad. I sat next to Brad and was totally put at ease by his spot-on impressions of Beavis and Butthead. And I was a church kid. I was not allowed to watch that. So the closest I got to those episodes was Brad. He was great. I immediately called Brad Friend. Brad's funeral was last Monday. And all week I've been thinking about Brad. And all week I've been asking myself, why didn't I tell Brad about Jesus? Why didn't I share Jesus with my friend? Why didn't I tell my friend about Jesus? He was my friend. He meant a lot to me. And you come up with a lot of reasons. Maybe it's because I met Brad in the ninth grade and I thought I would know Brad for the rest of my life, right? In fact, I thought I was in the first year of high school. I've got 4 more years of this, right? I thought I had a larger window to work my way up. You know, sometimes that's an excuse. I just let me work my way up to telling him about Jesus. You know, first I'll talk about a movie, then I'll talk about a restaurant, then I'll talk about a video game, then I'll tell him about Jesus. And he won't ever see that coming. It never works that way, friends. It never works that way. But in the strangeness that is high school life, Brad and I never had another class together. We had that first semester history class. We never had another class together. This week, thinking about that, I'm like, how did that even happen? I mean, we were a large school, but after the first semester, our closeness was limited to saying hi to each other as we passed in the hallway. We were still friends. You don't know what kind of window you're going to have to share Jesus with your friends. I'll never have another chance to share Jesus with Brad. And I regret that. Another reason, maybe it's because in ninth grade, although I had faith in Jesus, although I had a relationship with Jesus, I hadn't yet decided to surrender every area of my life to Jesus. There was still double agent Chris Fluitt, there was church Chris Fluitt, and there was school Chris Fluitt. And I hadn't surrendered every area of my life to him yet. I completely compartmentalized my life. I was a Christian at church and at home under the watchful eye of my parents, but at school I would do whatever it took to fit in. And I don't know if you know this, but telling people about Jesus is an absolute way to never fit in. Jesus will never let you fit in. You listen to me right now. Jesus will never let you fit in. Fitting in is darkness, and he called you out of darkness. He set you on a hill and put a light in you. You are the salt of the earth. Jesus Christ won't let you fit in. You'll never fit in with Jesus. You'll always stand out. You'll always go against the current. That's the way it is. Looking back, man, it was a terrible choice to do whatever it took to fit in. And today I just asked myself, was I really a friend to Brad if I wouldn't share Jesus with him? And I would ask you the same about your relationships. Are you really a friend to that person? Have you told them about Jesus? If Jesus is real and you know he's real, how could you not tell your friends? If Jesus is real, you know he's real. How could you not tell your family? If Jesus is real, you know he's real. How could you meet a person and not look for an opportunity to tell them about Jesus Christ? I'm capable of sharing Jesus. You are capable of sharing Jesus. So why don't I? Why don't you? You're capable of sharing him. It would be the best thing in the world for you to share Jesus with them. It would be the best thing in the world for you to share Jesus with someone. Do you believe that? Oh, I hope you believe it. It would be so good and it would be so helpful. You know that there are people that need to meet Jesus and you know him. You could introduce them to that person, and it would be the exact helpful thing that they need. Well, let me tell you, today's been heavy. I get it. I don't bring this story of my friend to make you feel guilty over the past, because the truth is you cannot do anything about the past. The past is gone. Ninth grade for me is absolutely gone. Truth is that we have to let go of the past so that we can ever change the present. I'm not asking you today to feel guilty and terrible about the past. But I'm asking you to look right now in the present. And you're capable of doing something. It would be good if you did it. And it would be so helpful if you did it. So why don't you? Why don't you do it? No, we need this to be urgent. Okay? You could like have a nice feeling in the moment, but actually you need this to be an urgent thing that you get to work on immediately, because you never know if you will have a future opportunity to tell someone about Jesus. So make sure you make the most of your present opportunity. Stop compartmentalizing your life. Bring Jesus into every area of your life. Can I tell you, when I brought Jesus into every area of my life, it was such a relief. It was so wonderful bringing him into the fullness of my life. If you aren't sharing Jesus with those around you, chances are you have not yet surrendered that area of your life to Jesus. That there's an area of your life you've not fully surrendered to him. So why don't you today? Why don't you? You're capable of it. It would be good and it would be helpful. So why don't you? Now I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to bow my head and pray. I ask that as I pray, you would make your way to this altar today. That you would come and talk to God. If you want someone to pray with you, you come right in the first 2 feet. We are totally willing to do that. I'm going to pray now. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, please, God, help us. Help us to do the things that you've called us to do. Lord, right now, Lord, I pray, Lord, that you would speak to our hearts, God. There are things that you've put in the works for us to do, that it is your will for us to do. Help us to do those things. There are people in our life that we need to share Jesus with. God, Lord, there are people in this world that we aren't loving the way we should love, that we haven't forgiven, that we aren't praying, that we aren't willing, God. Lord, right now in Jesus' name, everybody that's in the room, everybody that's listening, watching online, Lord, get a hold of our hearts, God. Lord, we are capable of this. We are called to this. Lord, let us walk into it, Father, right now. Meet every need, God. Lord, I want you to put people on people's hearts right now. Lord, I want you to help us to be brave and to be bold. Lord, help us to change, God. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Come on, let's talk to God.
For more information about Redemption, look us up online at redemption-church.com. We want to hear from you, so be sure to connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, or even our anonymous question text line at 214-856-0550. Thank you for joining us, and have a blessed day.